love, everybody. Ringo here. Beautiful day in LA. So it was good to be able to kind of get it out in a song.
The whole, you know, origin of where we're all coming from.
I'm prepared for death because I don't believe in it. I think it's just getting out of one car and getting into another.
Welcome, everybody, to Talk More Talk. I'm Ken Womack. I'm delighted to be here with you on the show where we give you a video podcast and we talk more talk about the solo Beatles. Welcome, everybody. And I'm really thrilled to be here with my great colleagues, the queen of all Beatles media, Kit O'Toole.
Great. Hello, Ken. Hello there, Ken.
Greetings.
Good evening.
I'm pleased, in addition to Kit, to welcome our good friend Tom.
Right. Oh, we got
Hello, Ken. And excuse me,
Well, there's everybody.
There's everybody. Jumped in at once. Sorry about that.
Okay, well. Hello, Kens, and excuse me while I bow to the Queen. Good to see you.
Thank you, thank you.
Yes, yes. So, what's going on?
Well, up first, I think we have Ken Michaels who will give us.
Hi there, Ken, and hi, everybody. Great to be back for the show. And so, we're going to start with Beatle News right now.
Yes,
is that what we want to do?
Indeed.
Okay. Sure. Well, there's a ton of news, and some of it is kind of really new, like breaking in the last few days. But I'll start by talking about someone who may not be a Beatle, but he's certainly a member of the Beatle family, and that is Jeff Lynne, who has announced a North American summer tour for next year, and this after just finishing up an extensive North American tour, his first since 1981. There's going to be 20 dates, kicking off on June the 20th in Anaheim, California, and wrapping up in Pittsburgh, PA on August the 1st. And there'll be a pre-sale through American Express starting tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. through the 28th of October. And then after that, general ticket sales go on sale through first. And that'll be on October the 29th. That's through Live Nation. Ken? All right. So
absolutely.
I think some of you saw Jeff Lynne on his recent tour.
Yep, I did. And it was incredible. I would highly, highly recommend those of you who didn't see him this year, go. It is just a night that of just, you know, nonstop hits. He throws in one or two deep cuts, but it's mainly the hits, and it's just such a treat to see them live. I mean, I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah, his voice is in great shape, and the band, ELO, they're just excellent musicians. And it's amazing how he can go through 2 hours straight, and it's just one hit after another, with a few album cuts, like you said, Kid, but it certainly is a treat to see him live, and I would definitely recommend that. Mm. Also, speaking of live, Sean Lennon has teamed up once again with Les Claypool from the band Primus for their second album together as the Claypool-Lennon Delirium. This follows their album from 2 years ago, Monolith of Phobos, and the new one is called South of Reality. It's due out February 22nd, but you can actually pre-order it now. But the two of them are now planning to promote the album with a U.S. tour. And so far, there are three dates in California that have been announced: December 28th in San Diego, December 29th in Santa Ana, and December 31st in San Francisco. Tickets are now available for those shows. And you can hear one of the tracks from the new album called Blood and Rockets. It's from an article in Rolling Stone magazine, which I just posted on our Facebook page for Talk More Talk. Okay. Mm-hmm. Also, learning this today, a new movie on the relationship of John and Yoko is being directed by Jean-Marc Vallée, known for his work in films like Dallas Buyers Club and Big Little Lies. Vallée will be directing, editing, and rewriting the screenplay, and Yoko will be producing it with Michael DeLuca Productions. We don't have any projected release date for that so far. And speaking of Yoko, her new album, Warzone, in which she reimagines many songs from her catalog, was just released. She also covers Imagine on that album. Don't know if you guys heard about this. Billboard magazine just reported that Giles Martin has just been named the new head of audio and sound for the Universal Music Group. This article says the new role will have Giles leading the company's exploration and adoption of emerging audio formats and consumer technology. And he will be based out of Abbey Road Studios in London. So congratulations to Giles for that. Did you guys know about that?
Yeah, I wanted to ask Ken Womack about that, you know, because you, of course, have met Giles many times. And I just wondered what your reaction was to that.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I haven't quite baked that yet. I saw the news as you guys did. I'm kind of curious why they chose to lock him in that fashion. You know, the word on the street about it was that he was looking for more space to do projects on his own. Maybe this is that avenue that allows him to do that. I mean, good for him. I know he has a deep interest in growing their surround sound capabilities there, which is and anybody who's been to Abbey Road lately will see that's a big push inside that facility. Is they see their real future in that kind of experiential realm. So perhaps it has to do with that. I'm kind of at a loss still. I was surprised that he was locking up in that way.
Hmm. Well, I think that obviously he's proud of the work that he's done on all the Beatle projects and the solo projects too, especially with Paul. But I think he wants to branch out and work with other artists. And in recent years, I think it was a year or 2 years ago, he was working on a remaster for one of INXS's albums. So mm-hmm. You know, wanted to go beyond the Beatle world. And, you know, we'll have to wait and see if we can find out more about what this job entails, if it's really on the creative level, if it would be more with production or more administrative, or I don't really know, but we'll find out. This is something that happened 2 weeks ago, but we didn't have a chance to talk about it. Paul McCartney gave a private concert on October 9th at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. This was at the invitation of Robert Kraft, who's the owner of the New England Patriots. And this was held in a tent with a capacity of only 300 people. And Kraft has been hosting these annual fall events for years now. I have a friend, Steve Sanderson, who watches this program, who lives a town away from there, who was kicking himself because he wasn't there for that show. But
where were our invitations?
I know. Also, I'm sure that you're aware, and probably all of our listeners, viewers are aware, that Paul has been encouraging his fans to enter a contest to make a new video for his song, Come On To Me, in which you show your dance moves and strut your stuff and be sexy. And so he's asked his fans to post their videos on Instagram or Twitter using the hashtag COTMChallenge. Paul says that he and his team will be reposting his favorites. So ask your friends to be part of the fun. I don't know if any of them are going to make a video.
Come on, Tom. I'm waiting for yours. Come on. For those of you listening, Tom is showing off some moves right now.
Now, I have an item here, actually, that I don't think has been reported anywhere, but on December the 8th, there'll be a new film coming out in theaters called Buttons, and it will only be shown in theaters on December 8th at exactly 12:55 p.m. And this movie stars legendary actors Dick Van Dyke, Angela Lansbury, Robert Redford, and Kate Winslet is involved too. It's described as a musical fairy tale like the old MGM classics. And they say, the time of robber barons, mills, and rising industry, two orphan children meet two unexpected visitors, as Dick Van Dyke and Angela Lansbury, who turn the tide of events and change their lives forever. Now, you're probably wondering, why am I bringing this up? It's because McCartney's composition. Paul McCartney has a composition in it called Nova, which is not a new composition. This is a piece that he wrote as a tribute to Linda McCartney, and it was performed at the Garland for Linda. So I don't know if it's the same performance as the one at the Garland for Linda, but it will be in the film. And proceeds from the film will benefit Kate Winslet's Hat Foundation, which helps those living with autism. And if you're interested, you can go to this website, which is fathomevents.com. You scroll down the page where they list all their film events, look up December 8th, click on the film buttons, enter your zip code. It'll tell you what theaters in your area are showing it. All right. A few more items left here. New covers of songs include Barbra Streisand covering John Lennon's iconic Imagine, which she's doing as a medley on her new album with Louis Armstrong's What a Wonderful World. Her album called Walls is due out on November the 2nd. The Monkees have just released a Christmas album called Christmas Party, in which they cover Paul McCartney's Christmas classic, Wonderful Christmas Time. And I'm sure we have lots of Monkees fans watching, but some of the key players involved with their last album, their big comeback album, Good Times, are also involved with this album. Adam Schlesinger and Andy Partridge, Rivers Cuomo, to name a few. But that's already been released. There is a new movie coming out called Instant Family, which stars Mark Wahlberg. And I just saw a trailer on TV for it. And they're featuring George Harrison's What is Life in the trailer. And that movie's coming out November the 16th. Okay, and that leads us to the big announcement of the past week. And that's Paul McCartney's newly mastered is coming out for Wildlife and Red Rose Speedway. And that'll be on December the 7th. And I'll just run down real quickly what entails on these remasters. For the deluxe editions, for Wildlife, you get three CDs and one DVD. You'll get the album remastered. There's a CD of rough mixes of all the songs and a CD of bonus tracks with home recordings of songs from Wildlife. Also the single Forgive Ireland Back to the Irish and its B-side, which was an instrumental version of that. Unreleased songs like Indeed I Do, When the Wind is Blowing. There's a bonus DVD with tracks titled Scotland 1971, The Ball, ICA Rehearsals, and a rehearsal of Give Ireland Back to the Irish. There'll be a two CD special edition, which is the remastered album and rough mixes. There'll be a two album version, 180 gram special edition vinyl with an MP3 download card. All right. Any of you want to talk about Wildlife or what's involved with this package? Or should I just go on to Red Rose Speedway?
Yeah, let's keep going.
Okay, for Red Rose Speedway, there's quite a lot here. Three CDs and two DVDs for the deluxe version. The first disc is the album remastered. The second disc is a double album for Red Rose Speedway. Originally, that album was going to be a double album. So it's everything that would have made up the double album, including like B-sides, Country Dreamer, I Lie Around, The Mess, Best Friend, which was actually going to be on the Cold Cuts compilation, Tragedy, another song that was going to be on Cold Cuts. That's a great cover. One of my favorite covers, actually, from a song that was done by Thomas Wayne back in the 50s and also the Fleetwoods. I Would Only Smile, which is a Denny Lane song that he released himself. Other songs that you're familiar with, Mama's Little Girl, Night Out. Again, those are also on Cold Cuts, and Seaside Woman is on there. There's a third disc.
Did you say Night Out?
Night Out.
Oh, I think I remember that.
Yeah. And that was also on Cold Cuts as well. The third disc has bonus audio, singles and B-sides that were released in 1972 and 73. Mary Had a Little Lamb, Little Women Love, Hi, 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 Sea Moon, Live and Let Die, The Mess. Early mixes of songs from Red Rose Speedway like Little Lamb Dragonfly, Get on the Right Thing, and Little Woman Love. Unreleased songs like 1882, which is an instrumental that Henry McCullough composed. Thank You, Darlin', Jazz Street, and a group-only version of Live and Let Die. And then there's two DVDs that go with it. The first one has music videos from that time. And this is something that will get many of us, I think, excited. Yes, indeed, the James Paul McCartney TV special will be on the first DVD.
It's high def.
Performance of Live and Let Die in Liverpool and an interview in Newcastle. And the second DVD, I couldn't believe this when I heard this, because I've heard about this for years, and it's finally going to come out. The Bruce McMouse Show. You guys know what that is?
I just learned about it.
It's a film that Paul is working on, which mixes live footage of Paul and Wings on stage. And then living underneath the stage is supposed to be, it's animated mice that live there. And it's all just editing between the two, the mice and the performances. And one of the names of the mice there happens to be Soily, which I guess is where they get that from. But we've never seen this at all this time. And that's going to be in 5.1 sound, surround sound. There's also going to be a Blu-ray in the deluxe as well of the Bruce McMouse Show. And in addition to all this, and here's the final thing, which a lot of people are talking about and some people are very upset about, we'll probably talk about this closer to the release of it. There'll be a super deluxe version, which will have altogether everything else that I just mentioned on Wildlife and Red Rose Speedway, plus one CD of live performances of Wings from 1972. And I think there's also one cut from 73. It's called Wings Over Europe, and it's a limited edition, and you can only get it on Paul's website, paulmccartney.com. It has 20 previously unreleased live recordings from five different concerts. And there's also a production from Paul recounting the tour, 96-page photo book of unreleased Linda McCartney photos, and someone else named Captain Snap, his photos. There's a replica of the 1972 Wings Over Europe tour program as well. But the total cost for the Super Deluxe set with that bonus CD is $399.
Jeez.
And as far as
Let's
I know,
round that up.
I think that we should all start a GoFundMe. So we can get all these box sets, because I ended up the Imagine box set, the White Album box set, and if you get this, it's over $600.
Yeah. And plus, I bought tickets to see Paul live next year, so he's getting...
That's right, me too! It's getting expensive.
When I heard about this news late last week, I was definitely foaming at the mouth. But yes, I'll agree with a lot of people out there. It is too much too soon. So, but we can definitely talk about that more in the future.
I think we're definitely going to debate that.
Yes.
Yeah. Some people feel that, you know, Paul is taking so long with his archive collection, and every single year he does release something. I mean, last year was Flowers in the Dirt. So he's getting it right under the wire by having it released in December. So
the talk with the Paul talk is everywhere right now. So, I mean, it is a good time to release it because there is still so much interest around Paul. So, I mean, why not just keep it going?
All right. Good enough reason there. But obviously there's room for debate here on this topic, and we'll tackle that as I said as we get closer to the release of that. So back to you, Ken.
Oh, well, thank you, Ken. And I think that would be worthy of a few.
There he is.
So we were just saying that we really are curious to hear your views on the Imagine box set. That, you know, we talked about it a bit the last time, and we wanted to get, what was your reaction to that set?
Well, hoping that I'm coming across clearly now, and if I'm not, fine. I know you'll tell me.
Yep, you're fine.
Okay, I just gave my little diatribe about so many packages coming out. I'm quite pleased with the Imagine box set. I think the fidelity is spot on, so I'm very happy to have those high quality remixes. I'm also quite pleased. Yes, there it is. Tom was demonstrating it. I'm also quite pleased with the outtakes, which if there is a critique I have so far of the Paul McCartney Archive Collection, it is that the outtakes have not been universally wonderful or even that expansive. We haven't had really the kind of deep cuts that I would have hoped. I feel like we're getting that with this project. I learned some things by listening to other takes. It was nice to have a really high quality instrumental version of the strings from the so-called mm-hmm. Flux Fiddlers. Mm-hmm. I think like you, I've had that for years in a kind of lo-fi version. So I'm quite pleased with that that collection. I'm very suspicious of the timing. I'm curious why it didn't come out on the 50th anniversary, but you know, I'm glad to have it nonetheless. And I can imagine, pun intended, several other projects where I would like to have a very similar kind of treatment.
Hopefully, yeah. We won't have to climb any walls or go over any bridges to get them.
Or play any mind
game. There you go.
Yes, thank you.
Yes. You'll be here all week.
Sometime.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, well, I agree. I just think this was a first-class set. I mean, I just think it was beautifully done, although I don't like the design of this, you know, a kangaroo.
Kangaroo pouches.
Yeah, kangaroo pouches. I don't like that. But other than that, they are darn hard to get those CDs in there. But other than that, it's, I think, just beautifully designed. I was knocked out. You know, I thought it was beautifully done.
Yeah, there's so many cool things to revel in this package. And when you're talking about what was on those four CDs in particular, you've got demos of songs. You've got so many different versions now of the song Imagine, from the demo of it to the first take of it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot there to really enjoy. You get a different perspective altogether when you're listening to, maybe it's the same take that we've known all these years, but it's minus something, one of the instruments. It has a different feel altogether. If you listen to a song where you're used to hearing orchestration, and it's not there, it has a whole different feel. It has a whole different live feel to it. It has more of a band feel. And, you know, sometimes you might hear the same take with a different vocal from John. And, you know, it's, you might like that vocal just as much. You know, there's so many things to enjoy about this box set. I love the whole development of the songs. You can see the evolution of certain songs on that fourth disc. You know, there's a lot to chew on here, and I think it was all done very tastefully well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I really think it's like, you know, an in-depth look at not only at the album, but just even how an album is made, you know, how an album is created, and how, you know, songs evolve. I thought it was fascinating even from that angle.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the incredible thing is that it was done in 9 days. That, you know, the recording process, you know, that in itself is pretty amazing.
Sure. Well, through you know, the box set itself and the book, especially the book that we're going to be talking about, you get to really understand how John worked in the studio, because he liked to work quickly, but he also worked hard. I mean, mm-hmm. he he would do take after take after take till he got it right. But he also cared a lot about the feel of the song, not necessarily being perfect. And, you know, he was very strict, and he was like business, a business to him. You got to get everything done. You know, he tried to get like a song done a day. Sometimes it would be more than a song, more than one song. And, you know, to finish up an entire album and for the band to learn it from start to finish within a week, you know, that's quite an accomplishment right there.
Indeed.
I agree. Yep.
All right, Ken, back to you. Let's see. Yeah, here's this is a, by the way, this is a quote that or a comment that a viewer, Annie, who I do know, hi Annie, that she left saying, seeing the movie Imagine at the Music Box Theater in Chicago was a real treat. Made me appreciate the Imagine album so much more. And I have not seen it in the theater, but I'm sure that was an amazing, amazing experience. And that probably, maybe that's a good segue. let's talk about another part of this Imagine package, which is the DVD Blu-ray of both Give Me Some Truth, the making of the album, and then of course the short film that you know accompanied the was shown on television, but it accompanied the album as well. So let's throw that out. What did you guys think about this, you know, watching it again after all this time?
I'll start. Unfortunately, this was the when I bought the Blu-ray, is the first time I got to see it. I had an opportunity to see it in the theater, but I unfortunately had to work the iHeart Music Festival. So, but I was really really impressed with this restoration, if you will. If you look at the credits, it said the restoration took from 2010 to 2018, which seems to be, you know, 8 years seems to be a long time to restore a film, unless they were looking for, you know, better negatives and better film sources to improve on. So in that case, it would have been cool to kind of see like a film by or a shot by shot comparison from, you know, what they were using and then into how they improved it. But anyways, the images from that film, I was really impressed with the brightness of the Imagine when Yoko is opening up those it's not shades, but what do you call them? The blinds, or if you will, but, and the lights coming in and it's just like a perfect, you know, the perfect white. And it's just, it's really amazing. The sound is crystal clear. It's just as good as the Blu-ray that came with the music package, and it's really cool because the Blu-ray, the high definition. I love it when you can see like the red in people's cheeks, you know, or the their pores opening. It's really cool, you know. It's hilarious, you know, and you can see kind of like razor burns on his neck, you know. So it's really fascinating how this high def has really sharpened the picture of this film, and it was really, really enjoyable. I like how it's, you know, it's kind of like a long form video, almost kind of like how Back to the Egg was, but this is so much more than Back to the Egg was. I mean, especially the in-between segments, just so much going on, and just really, really impressed with the work done on the film.
Yeah, I got to see it in the movie theater, and cool. This was at 5.1, and I could say the picture clarity was the best I'd ever seen. And, you know, I hadn't seen this film for quite a while, even though I had it on video cassette when it first came out. And you really begin to appreciate, and I don't know if this is the first time this has been done, it is like, you know, a video album where you could take each individual song and each one you have a video for, and they're all beautiful in their own way. And you get to see what goes on at Tittenhurst Park, the lake where they went in the rowboat together, also at the very end, you know, sometimes it gets confusing because she sees some of the same footage and other things like the Imagine John Lennon movie or videos for the singles that John released. I think some of the posthumous ones had footage from Imagine. But everything was so well done. And the sound quality in the theater in 5.1 was it's beyond amazing. I never heard the strings on How Do You Sleep so well as I did on that. It was chilling. It really was. And there are certain songs that have so much more bite in this mix than they did on the album, like Crippled Inside really stood out for me in that way. And also, and this might be a minor thing with some people, but, you know, for years, whenever you hear the song Imagine, there's always been a lot of hiss at the very beginning of the song. And even on the new remix, you hear it. I didn't hear it in the film. It was really clean. It was probably the best sound quality I've heard of the original tracks of Imagine. And you also begin to appreciate more and more, and maybe I didn't catch this the first time around, how much of a team John and Yoko were. I mean, they were together on everything on that film. You know, I love that rowboat scene, which actually I think was in two of the songs they used it. But, you know, the playing chess together, you know, the whole bit in, the whispering between Yoko and Dick Cavett and just things like that. Those were all conceptual ideas, and Yoko was a very big part of it. She played a very big part in the album itself, the music itself. You pick that up, especially when you read the book that we're going to be talking about. But so many reasons that I have for appreciating this film. And, you know, like I said, there's so many times when I think about when MTV started and they played a lot of Beatle videos that were taken directly from their movies, and they worked as videos all by themselves, even though they weren't conceived that way. And you could do the exact same thing with this Imagine film. And just take each individual song and it's its own video. And I really loved it for that reason. And seeing all the people involved with the album and all the other players, like I said, Dick Cavett, Jack Nicholson was there, and Miles Davis. And, you know, you get to see that balcony where Yoko would go to the telescope and look out and just things like that. It gives you more of an insider's view, as does Give Me Some Truth, and the book, of their lives together at Tittenhurst Park. So I love it for that for all those reasons, really.
All right, are you guys ready? I was saying before we started. Okay, I really had like an epiphany as I watched this remastered Imagine. You know, I'm kind of like you, Ken. I hadn't watched it in a long time. It's just not something I go back and watch on a regular basis, you know.
Yeah, but when you guys saw it on VHS, you only saw the edited version. You didn't get this full 70-minute version. I believe that's correct, right?
So Yoko took her songs out.
Okay.
And in the new version, there's, I believe, four of her songs.
Right, yeah.
Okay. So, you know, I'm and my epiphany does have to do with what you just said, Ken, about how John and Yoko were together so much. You know, this is really a film not just about the music, obviously, although obviously the music is a huge part, but it's really about, you know, their lives and how they are creating art out of their relationship and out of things in general. Those scenes where they have the stethoscopes that they're holding up. Uh-huh. You know, at first I thought, you know, the first time I ever saw that, I'm like, what are they doing? Yeah. What's that about? But, you know, the more I thought about it, I'm like, they're kind of saying, you know, art exists everywhere. Love exists everywhere, which fits in perfectly with Yoko's, you know, involvement in the Fluxus art movement, which, among other things, it's kind of a long thing, and I'm not going to get into it now to explain, but part of it is sort of, you know, that art exists, you know, everywhere. It's not an elevated thing, You know, it can be, you know, a trash can if you want it. You know, something that you wouldn't say is beautiful or a piece of art. And so I think that's, you know, what this film was trying to show. I mean, they were showing how, you know, their relationship, they were turning that into art. I love the segment of with the "Oh My Love." That's a beautiful, touching segment. I love that. Beautifully filmed. It's just very touching. It shows that side of them. There are humorous parts. I mean, yeah, the part you just mentioned of all the guys escorting Yoko to the balcony. I was really laughing. I mean, I was like, I don't remember it being that funny. You know, and the music accompanying like the different music for each person. And you know, there was just some great humor. And you saw them, of course, in Cripple Inside, that section of, you know, hanging out with their friends, but then you saw their political activism, and then you saw, you know, John going with Yoko to a grapefruit signing. You really, you know, they were giving you, yes, a lot of it was staged, I understand that, but you really got a sense of what they were doing, you know, their lives as a couple, but also as two artists. And I didn't really get that the first time I watched it, but watching this remastered version, I don't know. As I said, it was like an epiphany. I just thought, I get it now. And I just said, I was, you know, so I really appreciate the film a lot more than I did. And they were way ahead of their time. You know, Beyonce, you know, has come out with two video albums and everybody's saying, oh, wow, you know, that's so visionary. I mean, this was done long before. Not putting down Beyonce. Those of you who are watching, who are fans, you know, she's good at what she does. But this was before. You know, this is a video album. It really is. So, right. Ken, now, Ken Womack, we were just talking before the show about Yoko's art and everything. And you know, how do you think that fits in with the Imagine film? You know, how does she express herself in it?
Right. I would want to go back to a couple of things, though, that folks just said. I agree with Ken Michaels. It's really just a joy to have these images in such a pristine fashion now. Mm-hmm. I'm so pleased to have them. And I think about these kinds of images as a teacher. I'm teaching my Beatles course right now, and the higher the quality of imagery, the better for just about anything we do. And we now have that for Imagine. It's beautiful. I'm hearing instruments and sounds I've never heard before. And like Tom said, I'm seeing the pores on people's skin, you know, for good or ill. It's certainly their reality, right? It's also, to me, it's a very sad kind of production at a certain level too, because there's so much promise in the Imagine album that is not necessarily fulfilled. Mm. You know, if you look at the rest of the sweep of the 1970s, I love Walls and Bridges, but to me the quality is not as high. Double Fantasy is a very different kind of project. You know, Imagine felt like it was the tipping off point of something perhaps even more majestic and large, and it's never realized. So there's a tinge of sadness, and I guess there is with most Lennon projects, right? Because we know how the decade ends, you know, for him. But to me, it was a very bittersweet experience, but certainly beautiful both in terms of the visuals and the audio.
Mm. I don't know if I totally understand what you were saying there. Like, to me, the Imagine album, track for track, is outstanding. You know, I look at it as being, you know, pretty much a masterpiece from John's solo career, as was Plastic Ono Band. And I really love Mind Games and Walls and Bridges too, and Double Fantasy. But, you know, I appreciate it.
I guess where I'm going with that, all I meant, Ken, is I feel like he hits a high watermark after Plastic Ono Band and with Imagine. And then after that, to me, we never quite reach those heights. I enjoy Mind Games. I enjoy Walls and Bridges. I enjoy Rock and Roll. Mm-hmm. But they're not Imagine, and they're certainly not Plastic Ono Band.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
I'll disagree. Yeah. We can disagree. You know, I love Mind Games probably the most of all of his albums. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting. Yeah. And that's a show. That would be an episode right there.
There you go.
Whenever you want. Whenever you want.
Ken is ready.
That would be great. Yeah. I would love to give that a deep look.
Okay. Let's do it. Yep.
All right.
Absolutely. You know, I also think, I mean, the Give Me Some Truth documentary is, it, you know, it's nice to have. I wouldn't say personally there was anything in it that I found particularly, you know, revelatory. I mean, I you know, it was cool to see some of the behind the scenes footage. Again, it was something I hadn't seen the documentary in a while, so it was interesting to revisit it. Also nicely restored, and you know, it was nice to see the outtakes from Imagine. That was kind of neat to see some behind the scenes stuff. Of course, you did get to see also behind the scenes footage of John recording songs from Imagine. And what I loved about this, the DVD in general, and I assume the Blu-ray has the same thing, which is at the end, they have some of John's raw vocals from How, Give Me Some Truth.
Yeah.
And one other one that I'm blanking out on right now, but, and it was, you know, it was so incredible to hear his raw vocals, but also to see on a split screen, one side of him from the perspective of being right in the studio with him. And then the other side, it was from Phil Spector's perspective in the control room. And so you saw these two angles of him. Fascinating stuff. I mean, you just felt like you were right there. You know, it's as close as we're ever going to get. And so those, I'd say, were the two, you know, real highlights for me. Are you going to learn anything incredibly new from Give Me Some Truth? Probably not. I mean, I didn't anyway. But it's a nice companion. You know, it's a nice companion piece, I think.
Right.
I
agree. It is. I don't know how this one got by me, but this was the first time that I've seen this. And again, the images here, I mean, there was some stuff that I really thought were really cool. I liked you got all aspects of John on this. You got him, you know, in a good mood. You got him excited about the music. You got him, you know, yelling at Phil McDonald, which was really actually Ed Klein who was messing up, but you didn't see that part. I can watch George play the opening of Oh My Love.
Yes.
Again and again and again, just to quote Ken from earlier. But but I know there was one part that people were kind of upset about with the audio, and that was, you know, John doing How Do You Sleep and, you know, not getting that, you know, C word bit, but you do get that here on the Give Me Some Truth. And not that I think that we really need that, but I know there was some ramblings about not getting that on the set, but it's nice. I wouldn't call this really a making of Imagine like it's described on the DVD set. I kind of feel like, in a way, it's like you said, Kate, it's a companion, and it's nice in that sense. It's almost kind of like when Eric Idle did Ruddles Part Two, they just used extra footage that they didn't use for the original Ruddles, you know. So it was just, you know, a reimagining or whatnot. But it's a lot of fun, and the remastering on the video is nice as well. So I really enjoyed it.
Well, to me, the highlights of Give Me Some Truth really is the rehearsal footage with these musicians. Mm-hmm. And see them working together. And it is great to see them working on any song together, because these are just killer musicians and they worked so well. Each one of them are stellar musicians that just blended together so well. We talked about this on the last show. We were talking about the box set. I mean, it's priceless to see anything with John and George together. And, yeah. You know, at the same time, you've got people like Klaus Voormann in here and Nicky Hopkins and Ellen White and Jim Keltner. And it's great to see any footage of them together.
Yeah, for sure.
The only part that really suffers here is that when you have songs which you don't have rehearsal footage, they use the Imagine film as a fallback. And so when you're watching these two films back to back, there's a lot of repetitiveness. So it just seems like, you know, there wasn't enough rehearsal footage, but what they did show is priceless. And by the way, since Kit, I think you were talking about the bonus footage before on Give Me Some Truth. If you saw the Imagine film in theater, it was bonus footage there of the band rehearsing How Do You Sleep? And there was also, and this was taken from, if you have the box set, there is a recording of John and Yoko in a hotel room in the Bahamas doing Oh Yoko.
Oh, yeah.
Derek Taylor's in the background. You see the film of that as bonus footage. They only included that in the theatrical release of Imagine. It's not on the DVD. So, yeah, and there was one other song that I'm forgetting right now.
I
was
know, I'm forgetting it too.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's still worthwhile. I think it's still very well done, Give Me Some Truth. But I just felt like they were relying too much on the Imagine footage at times.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing, you know, Imagine John Lennon back in 1988. And you know, you recognize some of this footage.
Yes.
From that film and this one as well. So I don't know if you said that already, Ken Michaels, but.
Yeah.
Very
yeah,
familiar stuff, especially the Claudio part too, which which we'll get more into when we talk about the book, because it was really cool to learn more about him as well.
Yeah, and I think like some of you said, you see these different sides of John in the studio. The very serious side when he's yelling at Phil McDonald. He also yelled at Nicky Hopkins because in the middle of maybe it was Jealous Guy. He was
improvising.
He was changing the reel to reel tape. In the middle of the take. You know, he was, that's also on the Imagine box set, by the way.
Right.
Okay. Just to see that the serious side of him and the funny side of him. And I love it when you see John in the vocal booth doing certain songs like How, or I think it was Give Me Some Truth. And he's messing up on the vocals and made his voice is hoarse. And then he sticks his tongue out, you know, you know, that's not going to count. We're not going to count that.
Yeah,
little things like that, those little insider things, and
the kitchen table stuff is really cool too.
I mean, you really saw this was, you know, like, I mean, we'll talk about just a second with the book. I mean, they said in the book this was like a, you know, kind of a family, that as they were recording this, they were all around the kitchen table together. And I'm not saying, as we saw in the movie, it was always, you know, peaches and cream. I mean, you know, John would get mad and, you know, things happened, but overall I think it was really a positive time for him creatively and all. So Dr. Ken, what's your take on Giving Some Truth?
I would echo what the other folks are saying tonight. The repetitiveness kind of got to me a little bit, as Ken was saying. I suppose we're going to, especially with these so many box sets coming out and so much content coming our way, we should think about the fact that we are hitting the wall a little bit in terms of the amount of unseen, unheard treasures that are out there. For my money, and they are asking us to spend a lot of money, but for my money, the value is in having high definition, high fidelity, great value for sound and visuals. And if I'm getting that, I'm happy. And I did feel like those two aspects of the set really did deliver just as we had hoped. And that's the limitation I think we have to assess these projects with. You know, some of these works, of course, have very little video for the sheer fact that they didn't think they were important at the time, right? Imagine there was this kind of self-conscious approach that does lend it a lot of value in terms of what we're able to glean from it. So it made me happy to watch a lot of it. Again, as I said earlier, sometimes there's a tinge of sadness, but, you know, how often you get them to see them cavorting around Tittenhurst Park, right?
Right.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if for every solo Beatle album or Beatles albums, you had film footage of them in the studio working together?
Yeah.
The solo music, who the musicians were, if you had that to document that, mix that as a package with the audio. But there's only certain isolated examples of that, and Imagine is one of those.
That's right.
I mean, you know, if you had... I would be in heaven if I could see John with the musicians for Mind Games or Walls and Bridges working together in the studio and have that as a companion piece to an audio box set. But we probably won't get that. I mean, I don't know if there's anything that does exist, you know, outside of the video singles. But fortunately, we do have this material from Imagine.
Well, and we've got just a little bit left, so we should probably get to. Yep, this practically barbell feeling. When I picked it up, wow! I think I've developed new muscles. So, but I'll tell you. I mean, I'm anxious to hear what you guys think. I think this book is absolutely beautiful. I was truly impressed. This is everything you wanted to know and more. I mean, down to the, you know, the Tittenhurst plans, the floor plans, show you where everything was. I mean, it's just phenomenal. And they talked to everybody. I mean, everybody they could. Unfortunately, there's some who are no longer with us, but they talked to everyone they could, and they really, you know, you get just this full picture of what it was like, you know, what this highly creative period of John's career was like. The photographs are beautiful. It's even on this, you know, very nice, you know, heavy paper. I think it's worth every penny. I really do. I think it is just it's a piece of art as far as I'm concerned. I was just really impressed.
But I totally agree with you, Kit. Mm-hmm. I couldn't be more impressed with a book than what Yoko has put together here. Everything you ever wanted to know about those sessions and more is in this book. Like you said, anyone that was involved, and not just musicians, anyone that worked for the Lennons, their assistants are in here. People that you've seen in the album credits as musicians whose names you might not be all that familiar with who they are. It's all explained here. Some of the musicians, the bigger musicians like a Nicky Hopkins or Klaus Voormann get a full page. Then there are other ones whose names you might not be too familiar with, and they'll share a page with other people, but they give you background on each of them and how they came involved with John and with the Imagine album. And not only that, but every single photo, you know, the dates, the exact date, where they were. I mean, everything was so documented at that time. And like you said, Kit, I was blown away with the floor plans. You get to know where all the rooms were at Tittenhurst Park. You get to know everything on the grounds of Tittenhurst Park. Every tree.
That's awesome.
The mere fact that they kept all this stuff, you know, and they're sharing it all with us. Mm-hmm.
Tom is, for those listening, Tom is showing the pages. Yeah, look at that, the floor plans. I mean,
well,
detail.
That was the map of the grounds where, they label every single tree that was on the grounds, which is, you know, pretty really cool. It's amazing. Yeah.
There's so many things you could pick up in this book. It's absolutely wonderful. And if anything, you know, there are lots of quotes from John and Yoko, very revealing quotes about their relationships together and about these songs. And for someone like myself, and I want to hear, I think I might have mentioned when we talked about the box set, when you talk about that fourth disc where you see the evolution of each of the songs, sometimes John has an interview clip in there. Mm-hmm. And some of that is actually from Give Me Some Truth, as a matter of fact.
Right.
But I wish that there would be some audio of John talking about every single song on Imagine. But at least you have them in pages here. And there are quotes that I've never read before from John at all.
Yep.
And just the thing about, he was talking about the song How, which is, you know, one of my all-time favorite John Lennon songs now. He's saying in this book that that was a favorite of George's.
Yeah.
Yes. You know,
just knowing that. I wish that we knew more about what the Beatles as solo artists thought of each other's solo music. You get very little of that. That we learn through the years. You know, you might get Paul saying, well, I like Beautiful Boy from John, but you don't have, they don't have, they never critiqued each other, you know, and said, well, as far as John's solo career, I like these albums the best. They never really did talk about that. So when you get a little nugget like that, just the fact that George loved that song, and apparently he loved the strings on It So Hard, things like that. It's all the little trivia bits that I love in this book. There's Mike Pinder, who played tambourine on one of the songs.
Yeah.
Talks about how he introduced John to the Mellotron.
Mm-hmm.
How important was that? Mm-hmm. You know, I, who knows if Strawberry Fields would have had the Mellotron had someone not introduced him to it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Things like that, that you pick up in this book. And it's also about the relationship of John and Yoko from the beginning when they met, talking about that. Indica Gallery and all that.
Yep.
Goes past John's death and some of the efforts that Yoko has made to keep his memory alive. So it's like a continuing story of John and Yoko with very, very revealing quotes from John and Yoko. And in particular, I'm certainly not going to pick up the book and read the whole page here. There is a page when it's all devoted to Jealous Guy. And there's all these comments from Yoko about her relationship with John that's very revealing, and I would suggest that you check that out. It's very eloquently written, and you just learn so much more about the two of them, as if you would have thought that we know everything at this point. You know? But I've often said that nobody's life is a total open book, but John's was as close as you can get to it,
right?
That's with Yoko's help,
right? Well.
So you couldn't have done a better job on this book. And when you package all three things together, the box set, the DVD, Blu-ray, and this, mm-hmm. it's beyond phenomenal.
Yep.
You know, you couldn't do a better job than this.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like you said, you really learn about John and Yoko. You learn about their relationships. But my favorite part is being introduced and hearing the stories of everybody else that was involved with this project and that whole, you know, 1.5 year, 2 year time while they were at Tittenhurst. And I love the stories. I love the fact that, you know, you're introduced to people. I mean, Dan Richer, the personal assistant, he talks about how they were, you know, while excavating the lake, they found an unexploded bomb there from World War II. You know, stuff like that is really cool. Then you get introduced to this Peter Bendry, who's a general assistant. You learn that the song Peter the Dealer from Approximately Infinite Universe is about him, you know. So all that kind of stuff is really cool. Karen Murphy talks about being the first person or the first regular person to hear the album and called it more accessible than Plastic Ono Band, and John going kind of like flipping out saying, oh God, I sold out now, you know? So it's, you know, a lot of stuff like that. And then the Claudio story, learning more about him being, you know, a shell-shocked a vet from Vietnam, and, you know, and the fact that he was sending letters to him prior, you mm-hmm. know, before going out there was pretty amazing. You know, you're learning about Eddie Veal, the engineer who built the studio in there. I mean, that was pretty amazing how he was building it and they wanted to use it at the same time. So not only was he building it, but he was plugging everything in so they could, you know, have access to it. The Klaus Voormann story, how he talked about never playing, you know, the upright bass before, and he was playing with the chords while Alan White was, you know, banging on the strings while with his drumsticks. Cool stuff. You know, I love, you know, from like you said, the introduction, how Yoko and John met. I mean, I love it. And then there's an unsung hero about this set that if you really pay attention of the book and you follow the movie very well, I didn't know this, but you're going to learn that John was a big Dr. Pepper fan. Cheers. I haven't had a soda in over 3 years. This is my first one. All day long, I've been craving a Dr. Pepper. So, cheers.
Cheers. Complete with the prop and everything.
I think that was part of Dan Richter's job, was to make sure that John had a lot of Dr. Pepper.
Right.
And he also loved Haagen-Dazs, I think.
Yeah.
Right. And then, the funny story was, one more story was Joey Mollen, how they got lost. With Tom, they got lost in the mansion and they passed a room that had nothing but cases of Dr. Pepper in that room. Yep, I just thought it was
Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, it was brilliant, you know. So those stories for me and getting to know the people that I never, you know, knew about was great. So
yep. Yeah. Ken W., what do you think?
Well, I think we are running out of time, but I think the book was exemplary. really quite lovely. And as you know, as Ken noted earlier, extraordinarily well documented. You know, they've set the bar pretty high with this project. And I didn't expect the book, quite frankly, to be what it was. I do feel like I need to spend a lot more time with it. You know, but it is a dense read, right? And it merits that kind of study. But you know, again, as you guys have noted, no one was really left out of the project. You get viewpoints from really everyone who was involved. And again, you know, I would love to see that with other projects involving other classic solo Beatles work. Mm-hmm. It would be splendid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
All right. Well, I guess it's about that time. We need to start wrapping it up and go through our where we can be reached and what we're working on and all that stuff.
Okay.
All righty.
Who do you want to start with?
Well, how about
All right.
I'll start. Well, as you know, I co-host the Two Legs podcast with my cousin David Gargolino. We just recorded our latest episode last night regarding all of the new archive box set information. Hopefully that'll be up tonight or tomorrow. We also plan on releasing posting our episode on the Liverpool Oratorio with our special guest, Alan Cozen, which was a lot of fun talking to him about that. So that'll be coming up soon. You can email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at Two Legs Podcast, a Paul McCartney podcast. I mean, yeah, you know what I mean. Anyways, and on Twitter at Two Legs Podcast. So that's what we're doing right now.
How about Ken Michaels?
Let me just mention a few things. First of all, on my website, which is kenmichaelsradio.com, there's so many features on there from interviews with people connected with the Beatles to authors of Beatles books like Ken and Kit. But there's also a page devoted to Beatles trivia, and every single week you can win one of 9 prizes like Kit's book, Songs We Were Singing. And but I also want to mention this because every now and then I run something called a special contest. And just recently, in the last week or so, I gave people the chance to win the LP version of the Ultimate Mixes for Imagine. So it's really too late to enter that. But starting either this coming Friday, which will be, what's the date for that? 26th, or next Monday, I'm giving away the very book that we're talking about, Imagine John Yoko. And I only have one copy of that. But if you want to know how to win it, just go to my website on the homepage. It'll lead you to the special contest page. It's a week-long contest. You can win it. And that's at kenmichaelsradio.com. And also I have the other podcast show that I'm involved with, Things We Said Today, which features Alan Cozen, who Tom just mentioned, who's on the new Two Legs podcast, and Darren DeVivo. And you can catch our shows on podbean.com and YouTube as well, just like this show. And I'm pleased to say, and we should mention this, that at the upcoming White Album Symposium at Monmouth University, both shows will be represented there. Things Today will be having a panel on Saturday at 1:30 in the afternoon. And we at Talk More Talk are doing our own panel on Sunday morning at 10:30. And Alan Cozen, who Tom just mentioned, is, as I said, on Things We Said Today. He's doing a whole bunch of other panels. Lots of other great people you can see there, like Ken and Kit. Kit, how many panels are you doing?
I'm doing two, the one ours, and then one about 1968 and how it relates to the White Album. And I'm doing a presentation on another panel, which concerns the Beatles' influences, musical influences.
Oh, okay. Cool. Mm-hmm. And Ken, how many panels are you involved with? I mean, you're in charge of all. You barely have time to breathe.
We're very excited here at the university. We're really gearing up. Today I spent about 2 hours with catering to make sure that you have many fine morsels to eat. Awesome. And looking out for other really exciting details of that nature. But it
Don't
really will
about
be
us
something
vegetarians.
Of course, we have full vegan options. And lots of Dr. Pepper.
I was going to say.
Right. Monmouth has quite exquisite catering. I think you'll be duly impressed. But it's coming together very nicely, and it is the great story around here right now. And in fact, the next time we see folks, we'll all be together in the flesh. I don't know how we'll deal with that. with such close proximity, but you know what I think we'll do? We'll probably even talk more talk.
See what you did.
I'm going to need some time to soak this all in.
Yes.
Oh,
there
my
you go.
There you go. All right. I got to do just plug my website here I think tomorrow my review of Give Me Some Truth and Imagine will be up at Something Else Reviews. And I also have my newest Deep Beatles column also up at Something Else Reviews. It's on You Won't See Me, actually, which is kind of was interesting to research. Also a new Deep Soul column, and I'm just working on like 1,000 things, and of course we'll be at the fabulous conference coming up, so that's I think that's everything right now.
And your radio show Bottomless Soul.
Yes, my radio show Bottomless Soul. The last episode already aired. The next one I'm going to be recording soon. It's going to be a tribute to James Brown, and I'm co-hosting it with one of the biggest Brown fans I know, my dad.
Cool.
So it's going to be a really fun show.
I would recommend to everybody to catch her show because she does a phenomenal job. The first show that she did, and I'm a big Stevie Wonder fan, it was all dedicated to Stevie and songs that Stevie wrote for other artists and some I've never heard before. She knows her stuff. So, you know, catch her show.
You, man. Okay. I appreciate that. Okay.
Well, until next time, folks, we'll see you again. And next time you see us, we'll be right here on the shore. So lots of excitement coming your way with Talk More Talk.
All right. What?